Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been reviewing the personal prayer of Jesus for his disciples. And on today's program, we'll be picking up in John chapter 17, verse 9, as we continue with this prayer of Jesus, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And now in verse 9, Jesus begins to pray for them. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. So I pray for them. I don't pray for the world. That's interesting. I don't pray for the world. You see, the world didn't need prayer. The world needed atonement. And he would do for the world what needed to be done shortly as he would go to the cross because of God's love for the world. But now he's focusing on his own people and he's praying specifically for them. He says, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world and I come to you. So knowing that he's going to leave, knowing that they are going to remain in this hostile environment, he prays for them and he says, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that's a reference to Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So, the first thing he prays is, Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me. Aren't you glad Jesus prayed this? And you know, the great thing about the prayers of Jesus is you know he was praying the right thing, and you know his prayers were heard and will be answered. You know, the problem sometimes we have in praying is we don't know exactly what God's will is, do we? But here's the wonderful thing. Jesus prayed for us and is still praying for us. Because we're told in Hebrews, he ever lives to make intercession for us. So he's still praying for us and he is praying the right thing always. And he, of course, he's always heard. And his prayer will certainly be answered. So the prayer is, Father, keep them through your name, through your great, glorious person and all of your power and all of your wisdom and all of your love. You see, those are all the things that are connected to his name. So keep them through your power. Keep them through your love. Keep them through your wisdom. That's beautiful. God knows what we need. He loves us, and he has all the power that's needed to take care of us. Keep through your name. You know, the world is, it's a rough place. There are many dangers, toils, and snares, as the hymn said. And that's true about life. And there are so many things that potentially could come along and just sweep us away from the Lord. But Jesus prayed for us. Father, keep them through your name. Oh, it's so good to know that. It's so great to know that Jesus prayed this prayer and that God heard him and that God's going to answer that prayer. And so keep them. In verse 15, he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. Now, you know, the Lord could save us and just take us out of here the moment we get saved. But he doesn't do that, does he? Why not? Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, there's work to do, and he wants to use us to do it. If we were all out of here, there wouldn't be anybody to do the work. But secondly, there are things that he wants to do in us that are going to be relevant to the future. And so he keeps us here in the world to prepare us for the next world. He keeps us here to train us and to develop us and to grow us up in him so we're ready for the next step, which is the life to come. So I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So, first of all, he prays, you know, just in a general sense, keep them. We live in a fallen world, and because we live in a fallen world, there are things that just sort of naturally are going to occur. Not all of them can be immediately blamed on the devil. But the devil is also at work. And it's not just the potential dangers of a fallen world that might sweep us away. It's also the directed, calculated strategy of our great adversary, Satan. But Jesus said, keep them from the evil one. And this is the good news, that the devil can't do a thing that God doesn't allow him to do in regard to us. And God only allows Satan to have a little bit of freedom with us in order to work things into our lives that wouldn't be worked into our lives in other ways. But the Lord prayed for us. Keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You know, we have that phrase that we use, be in the world and not of the world. You know, that's not actually a scripture. It's sort of derived, though, from these verses right here. They are not of the world. We are not of the world, just as Jesus is not of the world, was not of the world. He's reminding us indirectly in this prayer that we're not of the world. The world is opposed to God. And as we're told by James, friendship with the world is enmity with God. If we're going to become the friend of the world, if we're going to embrace the world, love the world, want to be just like the world, want to participate in everything the world's doing and all of that, we put ourselves in opposition to God because the world is in opposition to him. We are subject to God. We're subject to his authority in our lives. We're not of the world. And now in verse 17, Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. The word means simply set them apart. So something that was sanctified was something that was set apart by God for God. So Jesus is praying for our sanctification, that we would be set apart for God. He says, sanctify them by your truth. He tells us how the sanctification process works itself out, really. It's by the truth of God. The truth of God has that sanctifying effect upon my life. And now Jesus makes it crystal clear what he's talking about. He says, your word is truth. You see, this is why we do what we do 7 days a week. 24/7, really, because we've got the radio ministry as well. But this is why we do what we do, because we know and believe that the Word of God is so vital. It's so essential to us as God's people. It is the means through which the sanctifying process takes place. And without the Word of God influencing your life, you won't be set apart. It's as simple as that. Because you've got sin in you and you've got sin outside of you, and those two things will collaborate together and they'll keep you in a place of carnality. That's why you have got to have the Word. It's got to come into your life. You need to bring it in personally by meditating on it yourself. You need to have it taught to you by people who are gifted by God to do so. And as that's happening, this supernatural thing is going on where God is taking care of that sin inside of us, and he's blocking that sin outside of us, out from us, and he's setting us apart for his glory. There's not a single mature, spirit-filled, dynamic Christian on the planet that isn't a person who has a serious relationship with God's word. And there isn't a person on the planet that has a serious relationship with God's word that's not a mature, dynamic, spirit-filled believer. So if you're not that, guess why? You haven't connected with the very thing that God uses to sanctify us. It's his word. And so, again, the prayer of Jesus, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. So again, of course, he's speaking specifically here of those men. He's going to send them out. And he says this, he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And what he's saying here is the fact that he sanctified himself is the guarantee of our sanctification as we come into contact with his word. Sanctification is a reality that will happen in your life. If this truth of sanctification is not happening in your life, it's not because God is not able to sanctify you. It's because you, in some way, shape, or form, are preventing that from happening. Because Jesus sanctified himself for the very purpose that we would be sanctified. His sanctification is the guarantee of our sanctification. See, sanctification is guaranteed if you do what God says to do. You know, we as human beings, we are sinners. And you know what we can do as sinners? We can deceive ourselves so easily. We can think we are sincere, we are pure, we have given everything over. And you know what? We can be dead wrong about all of that. That's how sin is. It's a deceptive thing in our lives. And what happens is sin comes in and sin deceives us, and then we can become delusional, truly delusional, thinking that somehow sin is okay, that somehow sin is acceptable, that somehow sin is no longer sin as it was declared in God's word to be. And again, my main point is to say that so many who have said, well, you know, it's God's fault that I'm still in sin. It's God's fault that I'm not sanctified. It's God's fault that all of these issues are still dominating my life. No, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. Because Jesus sanctified himself so that we could be sanctified. And if we're not, then we have got to go back to square one. We've got to get on our faces before God and say, I am a sinner. I am a deluded, deceived man. God have mercy on me. God help me. That's what people need to do today. Not run off to some psychotherapist. Not run off to a different church where the message is a little more friendly. People need to just face their sin and repent, truly. Because Jesus Christ sanctified himself so that we could be sanctified by the truth. The truth will set you free. And you know that truth is right here. It's the Word of God. You know, it's no wonder the devil has always targeted the Word of God. All throughout history, he has targeted the Word of God. He's tried to get people to disbelieve God's Word. He's tried to get people to neglect God's Word. Whatever works. But he works overtime. And you can see today, if you could just scan the whole church scene all around the world today, you would find that the enemy has been so successful in getting the Word of God out of the picture. Because you see, he knows what we should know, but we're sometimes too stupid to realize. He knows that this is the thing that is going to set people free from his captivity. And so he works overtime to keep people away from this book and to keep this book away from people, to keep it out of the hands of nations, to keep it out of the hands of rulers, to keep it out of the hands of individual people. And I'll tell you what, if you study church history, you'll find that that's primarily what it is. It's a battle for the word from start to finish, and it's not finished yet. I don't pray for these alone, Jesus said. I love this. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. So that's us. Here's the specific prayer for us. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, keep them by your name. Father, keep them from the evil one. Father, sanctify them. Father, that they may be one as we are one. Now, some people say that this prayer of Jesus has not been answered. And it's evident because of all of the division in the church. But you know, I don't think that's really true. Because of course, if you're looking at the church, you're looking at this massive body, this visible entity that is not necessarily, as we talked about earlier, isn't necessarily connected to Christ. And there's a lot of division there. But let's be honest, you can even look in the true body and find that there's some division there. I think that's true. But you know, it doesn't negate the fact that we're one, even though we might not behave like we are. We truly are one, so we ought to behave like we're one. We truly are one because Christ is in us, the Father is in him. Christ is in me, the Father is in him. Christ is in you, the Father is in Christ. So we really are one. Jesus' prayer was answered. We truly are one. The problem is we don't always behave like that. We don't always act like that. You know, your family unit, my family unit, we are one. You can't escape that. My wife and I have 4 kids. They are our kids, and we have 2 grandkids, and we're all connected. Now, we might get mad at each other, and it doesn't look like we're all that connected at times because we're upset with each other, but it doesn't take away from the fact that we're still one. And that this is true with God's people as well. What we need to do is act like what we really are. We really are one. But you know, I found this too, and maybe you can relate. I have been all over the world and met other believers And you know, it's so amazing how you can meet another believer and spend a week with them and feel like you have known them for 10 or 15 or 20 years. You can't do that with any other person, but it's something that happens with believers because we really are one, because Christ is in us. And because Christ is in us, we have this unity that is undeniable, and really it's unbreakable because we have Christ in common, because he's in us. One more request in verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Spurgeon said, this is the reason why people die. Because Jesus said, I want them to be with me, to behold my glory. Quite often, we would rather stay here for some strange reason, beholding all the rubbish and filth and perversion and wickedness around us. But Jesus says, oh, Father, I want them to be with me. Isn't that great? Jesus wants us to be with him. I want them to see my glory. I want them to behold this. I want them to experience all of this. That's his prayer. And guess what? This prayer was heard, and it will be answered. And it has been answered, and it will continue to be answered. Because we're going to heaven. Because Jesus prayed for us that we would. That we would be with him to behold his glory. And now he says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I know you. And these know that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know, that's an important last statement there. The impression that I got as a kid growing up in Catholicism was that God was mad at me. Jesus was sort of out of the picture. He was up on the crucifix, actually. Mary and the saints, though, they were pulling for us. And, you know, she was the most influential because, after all, I mean, she's the mother of God, and who can resist their mother's wishes? This is what I learned. But the idea behind that is that somehow God is still a little bit perturbed with me. He's still a little bit upset. He hasn't quite got over the sin thing yet. But you know, there's nothing further from the truth. You see, Jesus says right here, I've declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them. God loves you, and he loves me with the same love that he has for his son, Jesus Christ. And we don't have to go through a saint or through Mary or through the mediation of a priesthood or through a religious institution and have them, you know, making sacrifice and atonement for us and all of that. You see, that's the thing that Jesus did already. And because Jesus did all of that, we, as Paul said in Ephesians 1:6, have been made accepted in the beloved. You see, God accepts me. He accepts you. I don't need somebody to run interference for me. That's what Jesus did. And that's what he does. Because there is only one mediator between God and men. And that's the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom in due time. And so, God loves us. His love for us is the same love he has for Jesus. And Jesus is the apple of his eye. Jesus is his well-beloved. And so are we. And this prayer communicates that to us.
As Pastor Brian just mentioned, God has the same love for us that he has for Jesus. What an overwhelming and yet beautiful thought that is. And we'll be continuing with more of our study through the Gospel of John in our next lesson, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Prayer of Jesus. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3261. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.